Thank you, brother. Well, it is an honor to be back with you guys again. I'm sorry I didn't get to see Chad, but I'm glad I got to fill in for him. This morning, if you want to follow along, we are going to go into the series that Chad's been doing on facing the giants. We're looking in Joshua chapter 24. Now, I got to ask this quick question. How many moms are here this morning? Moms, are you here? Okay. I have such an unbelievable respect for you. My wife, we have three kids. She's a mom three times over. And I have seen how little people can reduce a beautiful, intelligent, straight-A, college-educated woman to a mumbling pile of goo at times. I mean, my wife will go days where she doesn't even get to go to the bathroom alone. Have you had that experience? And I think that is one of the reasons why she is faced with just a barrage of choices every day. Choices that when she wakes up, she didn't know she was going to have to make and that are forced upon her. And it reduces her down to this, to the point where she has, and if you've been here before, I've shared these before, where she has what we call Heather-isms, where she mixes up phrases or ideas. And I love it because it provides new comedy material for me on a regular basis. But she is just one of these people that literally one of the most brilliant women ever, straight A student through college. And yeah, she will say things like, we're out with our best friends the other night and she goes, you know, we're talking about being a friend. And she goes, you know, I am a great friend. I am loyal as a heart attack. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not sure I want you to be my friend then, you know. I came home from a trip and I was all set to go fix the vacuum. I'm like, do you want me to fix the vacuum still? She goes, well, you can, but I got a new one. And it is state of the line. And I was like, okay. And she has these pop up all the time. The bad part is she's rubbing off on, and she gets it from her family and rubbing off on to my children. At this point, her dad and I were playing golf one day, and I decided, you know what, and I love the fact you guys are building on a golf course. That just makes my day, that there's a church on a golf course. But I'm about to try to carry the water, and he's like, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And I'm like, well, you know, I think I can make it. And he's like, I wouldn't try it. And I said, well, I'm going to give it a whirl. He goes, well, whatever, turns your boat. And I said, would that be a rudder? And he looked at me very seriously and goes, yeah, that's why it's a saying. I'm like, his wife, my mother-in-law, we're out at a buffet. At a buffet with our kids. Our kids got too much. They didn't eat it all. To which my mother-in-law looks at my kids and goes, oh, I guess your eyes were bigger than your head. And the bad part is it is coming on my kids now. I woke up Graham the other day for school, my 10-year-old. He loves school. I said, Graham, are you ready for school? He goes, Dad, I'm happy as a muffin. And I still don't know what that means. But my favorite one for my kids was we were at the dinner table and my daughter Kennedy, she's 4, we thought she was choking and we hit her back. She was okay, but we thought, good teaching moment. Do you guys know how to let us know that you're choking? Do you know what the sign is for choking? To which Cody, my 9-year-old, disinterested to that point, just turns around, oh, I know this one. You do? What's the sign for choking? We learned it at school. Oh, well, great. What is the sign to let us know you're choking? Stop, drop, and roll. Close. So close. But my favorite one of this past year, we're at the ballpark on a school night. We have the last game. It's cold and we're getting killed. But you have to play at least 3 innings. So we have to play another inning. The guys are coming off. And Heather's like, oh, we got to wait for this. And she's frustrated. She goes in. She goes, well, I'm getting some hot chocolate. And as she's walking out of the bleachers, she turns around to me with another 20 parents sitting there. She goes, do you think we can just conceive and go home? And I think that stems from the choices that we have to face in life, to where we can get so caught up in the everyday life that we miss the important choices. And in this morning, what I'm going to just kind of open up our life to is really the giants that we've been facing in our family, in our lives. And the fact that as I read this verse, and this verse is just a wonderful verse, Joshua 24:15, my version may be a little bit different, but it's up on the screens. It says, but if serving the Lord seems evil or undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you are living in, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. In our society today, we are making a choice every day. We are making a choice to say, I'm going to follow what God says, what His precepts are, and what His truth is, or we're going to buy into the relativism of our society. Well, I would bid to you that this modern relativism isn't modern at all. Think about it. He says, you can believe in the gods of your forefathers on the other side of the river, the waters in Egypt. Isn't it funny how people always look back with nostalgia to a time prior? They forget all the bad. They were in slavery. And they're like, oh, we wish we were there again. What? Slavery. Or the land of that we're living now, the Amorites. Now let me ask you this question. How many of you have neighbors that worship the gods of the Amorites? Anybody? Anyone? No, I don't either. That didn't work out so well either. But what Joshua is saying is, you know what? My God is timeless, and I'm going to choose to serve Him. This morning, I want to open up our lives and share with you two basic choices that we have made this past year, and it's based on this one. First is that we have chosen ourselves to trust and to serve God. April 29th, well, I got to go back before that. My wife, not only does she produce isms, she is a recovering hypochondriac. Do you know what that means? She will watch a TV show on her honeymoon. I come out of the shower, she screams, I run in there. She is watching a 2020 special about a disease that 5 people in the world have. And she is convinced, I have this. And I said, no, you don't. And she goes, no, I have this. I have all the symptoms. And if anybody shares a symptom, she has that as well. But I'm so proud she's recovering in that way. Let me put it this way. If she were a Native American, her name would be Crying Wolf. Okay, that's my wife. And the reason I'm proud of her is that she's really doing much, much better in the sense that we came up with a rule. It's the 48-hour rule. You do not have a life-threatening disease unless the symptoms persist for 48 hours. You would be stunned at the number of life-threatening diseases that have been healed in 48 hours in our house. And I say that to set up how proud I was of her. In April, I was on tour out in Colorado. She called and she said, hey, Kennedy's still complaining about her knee. She's 3 at the time, she's now 4. And she said, you know what? And she's running a little bit of a fever. I don't want to go the weekend worried about this. I think I'm going to take her to the doctor. And I was like, very good choice. Great decision. Take her to the doctor. She said, it might be stress. I don't know, but I just want to get something for it. I'm like, great. Said, have them look at her knee while she's there. She takes her to the doctor. And they do a couple of tests. He says, you know what? Why don't you go down and we're going to take a blood test. But while that's getting done, get her knee x-rayed. So she does that, goes to another doctor. And while she was there, the doctor's office called. That doctor's office says she needs to go down and see this specialist. So she's relaying this to me while I'm in Colorado. And I'm just thinking, you know, she's like, you know what? What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm like, you know what? I don't know, but it's probably nothing. So let's just go through this. And she goes, oh, but I got to pick up boys. And she's in the chaos of her day. And she goes down and she walks in, and I did a show that night in Colorado, and I walk off stage and I call her just to see how things are going. And on April 29th is a night that I'll never forget, because as I called her, she was just bursting into tears. And I was like, what is wrong? She said, they sent us a specialist down here, and he sent us immediately across the street. And they confirmed the blood test there as they did there, and they sent us to a hematologist. They said, Kennedy has cancer. And instantly, I just went into denial. I said, they're looking at the wrong test. Have them do it again. And she goes, they did twice, and they're checking us into the children's hospital right now. And it was just numbing. And I went down, had a friend take me to the airport. There were no flights out of Colorado Springs. I rented a car. I drove to Denver. I caught the red eye, and I flew back home, and I was in the hospital room within 8 hours. And I sat there and I watched my daughter and my wife went on the bed, hooked up to all these machines, and our entire world just changed at that moment. And during that time, we realized this is a giant. This is a giant that we never dreamed we would face, and in a reality that we feel completely unprepared for. We're given the diagnosis, she has ALL leukemia. It's a blood cancer. And although the prognosis is good, we have a 2.5 year protocol. And they said the worst of the worst is the first 2 weeks. And then the second worst is the first 7 to 9 months. That's when the intensive happens. And we're during that. The reason why I bring this up, and this verse is so special to us, is it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A choice to trust God is a fundamental reality when you're facing a giant. Am I going to go based on what I feel, what I think, what I hope, what I reason, what I hear, or am I going to trust God? I'll give you the most pointed example I can think of through this process. We go to clinic during this intensive phase that just finished, and we're very thankful that we're done with intensive, but we would go to the clinic once a week. Once a week, we would go to clinic or the hospital. And once a week, they would access her port, which is a little piece under the skin, and they have to stick a needle in her chest, and I have to hold her down. Once a week, they will do a spinal tap, and they'll do a bone marrow aspiration once a week to my daughter, and I have to hold her while they do this. It would break your heart. And we do this once a week. On top of that, there are side effects during intensive. So on average, another day during the week, we would end up in the emergency room every week for 8 months. There was one stretch of time where during 10 days, we were at the hospital 8 days, usually in the middle of the night, usually because of a fever. See, if my daughter runs a fever, that means there could be an infection. And because of her port that has a line directly into her heart, they have to take care of that immediately. Or she could develop an infection in her heart and literally be dead within 72 hours. So we have to deal with it immediately. It was the 7th or 8th time, I don't remember. It was the middle of the night, I think around 1 or 2. But she was running a very high fever, and I got her in the car, and I'm taking her to the hospital. She woke up about halfway there and began to cry. Daddy, I don't want to go there again. I don't want to go there. And just began to weep. I want to go home. Just let me go home. And I told her, honey, there is nothing I would rather do than take you home. Now see, I'm an adult. I understand why this has to happen. I understand that these treatments, this intensive time, literally moves her chances of survival from 20% to 85%. I understand that. I understand it's worth it. Explain that to a 4-year-old in the middle of the night who knows that as soon as she gets there, they're going to stick a needle in her chest and they're going to hold her down, and she doesn't want that. And I remember sitting there as I drove and as she was sobbing and going back to sleep. And I remember being frustrated. I was exhausted. I'd averaged 2 hours of sleep a night for that entire week. Physically, mentally exhausted, spiritually exhausted. And I remember driving. And I don't know if you've ever just had tears running down uncontrollably, but I'm literally praying, God, what? What do you want? What do you want? You want me to pray again that you would heal? Is that what you want? Do you want to hear it again? What? And that thought came to my mind. Ken, why are you taking her to the hospital? Because I want her to be better, right? Why do you let them do that to you? To her? Because it's gonna make her better. Ken, do you think she understands? No, she doesn't understand. And then it dawned on me. There are going to be giants in our life. There are going to be circumstances. There are going to be parts of our life that we do not understand. And I literally, at that moment, in my exhaustion, I said, God, I trust you. That's the best I got. I got nothing else. All I've got is that I trust you. And I am convinced that I am not going to understand. But I trust you. That's it. And I remember driving to the hospital that night, and it seems like from that point, that was kind of the deepest of the valley, but things would get a little better. We've had 2 issues where we've been to the ICU for 4 days, where her blood pressure and the side effects have been stunning. But through it all, we don't pretend we get it. We don't pretend that we understand it. But we made a choice to trust God above all. We made a choice, you know what? We're going to choose to trust God, period. Is it easy? No. Is it popular? No. is it right? Yes. And God will always prove faithful. I want to share with you the second part of this verse that we are learning through this process. I love to give. I love to encourage. That is my passion. That is my gifting. I love to encourage people. But if there's one side effect or one bonus or silver lining to all this, I've learned at a new level what God wants to do. See, when he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose for yourself. That is an active decision. A decision to say, you know what, I'm going to do this if nobody else does, and we're going to do it now. If there's been one piece that I've learned through this experience is, not only do we choose to trust God, but follow me on this, we choose to take initiative. We choose to take initiative. We'd been home from the hospital from the initial 2 weeks for about 2 days. One of my son's friend's dad owns a landscaping company, and he was in the area, and he stopped by the house. I'll call him Royce, because that's his name. And Royce came up with his boots and his shorts, and he said, hey, he said, you know what? I was in the area. I just wanted to stop by and let you know that we're praying for you. And I'm so sorry. And he said, I just want to let you know that I'm in this area a lot. And this summer, me and my crews, we're going to take care of your yard. We're just going to do your yard. And I just had a reaction. I said, you know what, Royce, that's very gracious of you. If you would do it one time, that'd be great. But I'm not going to put you out all summer. And if you could just do it once, I can get to it. It's just, I don't have time right now. And he's like, yeah, you're really not listening. We're doing your yard all summer. And I was like, well, you don't have to. And he's like, it's not a question. We're just doing it. And he did. You know what he gave me? Yes, my yard looked phenomenal, better than it's ever looked. But you know what he gave me? He gave me time. It takes me an hour and 40 minutes to do my yard. Each week when we go to the hospital, that takes at least half a day. And during that intensive time, we would go at least twice a week. That's 8 hours a week that I lost. You know what he gave me? He gave me time with my boys. He gave me time. He took initiative to be that. He didn't just come up and go, hey, if there's anything we can do, we want to do that. That's great. That's kind of my mode of operation. No, he just said, I see a need. I'm going to do that. And see, what I'm learning is that God drops those in our lives, in our days. That we'll see a need, and my mode of operation is, hey, if I can do anything to help, let me know. What God has shown me is don't ask. I showed you the need. I gave you the ability. Do it. Whether they know it or not, just do it. That's why I made you. That's why I gave you that ability to see that. It's not just that. I was sitting with my best friend at lunch. I don't know if it was a month or two after we were diagnosed, but my best friend, he goes, hey, what can we do? I want to do something. I don't know what I can do. What can we do? He says, what do you want? And I told him, I said, John, I know this is selfish, but during this 7-8 months, I want to know that every Monday when I have to take my daughter to that clinic and we have to go through that, every Monday we have to do the spinal tap, the bone marrow, I just want to know there's a couple hundred people praying on that day. And he said, wow. And he got to thinking. He goes, I got an idea. And he called me and did it. He had these bracelets made. It just says, I pray for KGK. That's my daughter. And we got them. And we got more and more. And during that intensive time, every Monday, 2,000 people wore these bracelets and prayed for my daughter every week. It's humbling. On top of that, one of my neighbors, out of the blue, just said, you know what? I don't know if you've ever heard of this or not, but there's a thing called Caring Bridge, and it's a website that you can blog on. I didn't even know what blog was at that point. I thought, that's some computer geek thing, and that's great. But what it allowed us to do was to stay in touch. And what we were able to do is we got on this, and she set it up completely. She goes, here's your password. Go on there. And it let us communicate with literally thousands of people all over the country who would come by and say, hey, we just want to pray more specifically. What can we do? Blew our minds what people were doing all over, bringing meals. the one that sticks out in my mind, now this time of our life, and the facing the giant time of your life, a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, it's going to be something that feels very negative. And this time of our life, I call 2007 the Job year of our lives. Not only is my daughter diagnosed, during that time, I'll just give you a quick list. Both of our cars broke down. Our refrigerator that was 2 years old quit. Our washer and dryer both broke. This was in 1 year. My wife's computer crashed. My computer at work crashed. I took my computer to get fixed. I pick up my computer. I plug it in. There's nothing on it. I call. I said, hey, where are my files? And the lady says, oh, did you want us to save those? I thought that was a given. I lost 12 years of work off my computer. And I literally, I was at the point where I'm so numb, I'm like, what else? I literally would wake up and go, who's going to hit me today? In the midst of that, and this is just, I know this is sad, but this is the reality we went through. We have a little Yorkie. It was 14 years old, and Heather called me. I started to get back on the road a little bit. She goes, Polo hasn't eaten in 2 days. And I said, you know what? I'll take him to the vet when I get home tomorrow. I get home. Poor thing couldn't even walk. And so I take him to the doctor, and Kennedy goes, I want to go. So Kennedy comes with me, and she's holding him and petting him. And as we're driving him, she's like, it's okay. I'm here. I love my puppy. And she's just petting him. I realize. As we're driving there, she's saying to him everything I say to her on the way to clinic. And she's petting him when we go in. And it was this little dog. Now, when we first got him, I wanted a real dog. Instead, we got this dog. But after 10 years, he just grew on me. I love this little guy. And I knew it was happening. I just didn't want to face it. And the doctor came in and he said, you know what? His kidneys are gone. He's got, I can give him something for maybe a day, but he's gone. And I left him there, and we went home, and I just cried on the way home. And Kennedy in that room was so fresh, and she goes, Daddy, it's okay. Those other dogs will take care of him. And I was, and we get home, fast forward 2 weeks. We're at the tennis courts with our neighbors, who have been amazing. We're playing tennis, and one of our neighbors had a pug puppy, a little pug puppy. And Kennedy wanted to hold the leash for Daisy, and she's just holding the leash, and this little cute dog's running everywhere. And she just, can I go hug? Can I hold the leash? And she held for an hour, just hold this leash. One night when we were doing medicine, I don't know where the thought came from. God just reminded me, I'm going to give her chemo drugs, and Kennedy had just had enough. I don't want to do it tonight. I'm like, you know what, baby, you've got to do it. I know you don't understand. You've got to do it. And she just pursed her lips. I said, Kennedy, you have to take your medicine. And I don't know where the thought came from. I just had the idea. I said, Kennedy, if you'll take your medicine, we'll go see if Daisy can play. Do you want to play with Daisy? And she went from this to... Well, I gave her medicine. Well, now I got to keep my word. So it's a little awkward to go to your neighbors at 6 at night and go, can your dog play for a minute? She took her medicine and she let her come out and play. And the reason I share this is because of what happened next. 2 days later, Mary, Daisy's owner, called. She goes, I need to talk to you and Heather. And I was like, come on down. She goes, I may have really messed up. We said, what'd you do? She goes, well, I called a couple breeders and I just left some messages and I saw how much Kennedy loved Daisy and I called him and I told him, and one of them saw the article in the Atlanta Journal about you and Kennedy, and he said, is that the little girl? And he wants to give you guys a pug puppy. And I don't know if that's okay. I don't know if the doctor's in there. And we checked and the doctor said, fine. She goes, is that okay? And Heather calls this breeder. And she can barely speak. She's crying. Just going, that is so sweet. And he goes, I have 5 healthy kids. I'll give that little girl a puppy. He says, they're being weaned. Can we have set up a time that you can come get him? And she goes, well, yeah, we were thinking Monday, but my husband's out of town and he didn't get back till late. So how about Tuesday or Thursday? And he goes, that's fine. That's fine. And he says, why Monday? And Heather said, well, that's Kennedy's birthday. And we were hoping to do it on her birthday, but we'll just give her a picture and that'll be fine. And this guy said, oh, no, she will have that dog on her birthday. He lives 2 hours away. And he drove the dog with the cage, with the everything, so she could have that on her birthday. And let me just tell you, it was the initiative of a neighbor making phone calls. It was the initiative of a guy doing that. And through this time, with all the stuff of clinic and treatments and medicines, that dog just makes everything okay. Because when she's with that dog, it's okay. If you could see her with that dog, if you could just see that little face with that puppy, it would blow your mind. This is, yes, that's her with Skittles. And they play and they walk. And when she's with Skittles, everything is okay. And it was because somebody took initiative. See, serving the Lord is not a passive sitting back going, I'm going to believe whatever God tells me. It's an active. And if I can leave you with one word, our two decisions that we have made are simply that. God, I do pray that I will always trust you, even when I don't understand. But the second decision that I think every one of us can make is to say, God, let me see with your eyes and show me the needs around me that you want me to be a part of, and show initiative to meet. Where are those? I want to just ask you to pray with me. And as we pray, I just want to ask God to show us which of those decisions we need to make today. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us enough, even that when we don't understand, you still have our best at heart. Lord, I thank you for my friend that shared with me, when you can't see his hand, trust his heart. And Lord, we do. We trust your heart, and we thank you for what you've brought us through, and more importantly, that you're always there. This morning, Lord, if there's somebody here who is struggling with a giant in their life and that trust, Lord, I pray that they would truly trust with all their heart and not lean on circumstances and understanding. But Lord, I pray that there are some here this morning that would literally say, you know what, I see what it means to serve at a new level. And Lord, I pray that that choice may be the one that several of us need to make today. And that we would pray, God, through your Spirit, open our eyes to see with your eyes. Let us see that when we see that need, it's not obvious to everybody. And when we see those little opportunities to help, it's to not ask, can I help? It's to just take the initiative. God, most of all, I thank you this morning as we rejoice and we gather together that Jesus took the initiative when we needed him most to forgive us of everything and give us hope in a future. You didn't wait and ask us. You just did it. So, Lord, I pray that we would walk away with that today. And it really is only through your precious Son and his sacrifice and initiative that we can pray. Amen. It is joy to be back. This next hour, I'm going to do something completely different on relationships. If you'd like to follow our journey, I want to just make these available. This is a newsletter that's out on the back there. It's got a little bit of the story and a picture of our whole family at one of the events we did. It's got my wife and some more of her stuff there. But it's got the story. Also, on my website at the bottom, there's a place where you can click in directly to Her Caring Bridge site. And if God lays it on your heart to take the initiative, if nothing else this week, to say, hey, we're praying for you. My wife and I look at that site 4 or 5 times a week, and we are stunned. There's a little number that keeps track of everybody who clicks in. And it is stunning to us, the hundreds and thousands of people that stop by, because we know that well over 95% of those represent somebody who is praying for Kennedy. These are normally $100. They're free today. Okay, so those are in the back. Grab one of those. There are some more fun things back there, the Isms books back there and some other stuff, and I'll be back there as well. I'd love to just catch up and hang out with you. But thank you for coming this morning. God bless you guys for being here, and thank you for letting me share. Thanks.